I do not know why we're so hard on each other. It always bothers me that parents expect their teenagers to be perfect. When the truth is, most of the teenagers, I'm not defending the teenagers tonight. I'm defending anybody that's not perfect. And if I ever do anything wrong, I'll defend myself also. But it's amazing. Parents, when they were teenagers, weren't half what their kids are. They expect perfection from their teenagers. Teachers expect perfection from their pupils. Church members expect perfection from the pastor. And revealing of the fact that he is dust would have caused them to try to find another piece of dust to be their pastor, until they find out that he also is dust, and they continue their cycle from one piece of dust to the other, trying to find a perfect piece of dust. But you won't do that. There's no way. In 25 years of pastoring the First Baptist Church of Hammond, I found a heap of stuff about you. You don't have 145 counseling sessions or so a week without finding the weaknesses of your people. And many of you, I could put in the penitentiary if I wanted to, but I won't, because you could put me in the next cell if you wanted to, and I don't like the thought of it. But I don't think any less of you since I found out revelations of your humanity. I suspicioned your humanity all along when I found evidences of your fleshly house. I'm not disappointed. I sometimes wish that you would grow in grace a little bit, but I'm not disappointed, nor does it affect my love for you. I loved you when I thought you were perfect, and I loved you when I found out you were imperfect, and I'm going to love you when I find out you're more imperfect. I'm not condoning sin. God doesn't condone sin. Bible still says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Bible still says the wages of sin is death. Bible still says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible still says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's still in the Bible. But let me chat with you. I may preach a little bit along the way, I don't know, but let me have your attention for a few minutes. I never expected our children to make an A. Mr. O'Clair, and sis and other educators, I believe that one of the great mistakes that parents make is expecting the child to make an A. I never expected it. I told our kids, I don't expect you to make an A. You say, well, why? Don't you think wouldn't you be glad if they made an A? Yeah, but you see, it would have left them nothing to give. The title of my sermon tonight is Leave Some to Give. If I expect a C and they give me a B, they gave me a surprise. If I expect a B and get an A, they have something to give Dad and Mom, don't you see? But if you expect perfection then and get it, they didn't give you a surprise. You left them nothing to give. It would take away their chance to give me a bonus. If I say to our children, I expect you to do the best you can. Now, if the best you can is a C, that's what I want. If best you can is a B, that's what I want. But I really expect you. How's it? Far too much emphasis is placed on grades. I know people, parents, that'll take their kids out of schools and put them in another school where they can get a better grade. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not condoning slothfulness. You know better than that. But I am saying that we ought to expect a little less of people. so we can leave for them some room to give us something, surprise us, and make us pleased. I had no goals for our children. None. I never said to David, you've got to be a preacher. I'll be disappointed if you're not. Never did. I never said to Cindy, Linda, or Becky, I've got these goals. My goal, you'd be a good Christian. If they had so-and-so's dad, maybe they'd be like so-and-so. I'm saying, I never expected our kids to make an A. I never expected our kids to be like somebody else. I never had goals for them. And I want to say this tonight. I thank God tonight that I was not a natural A student when I was in school. I thank God. I was talking to somebody the other day. One of our seniors said, Brother Hiles, I said, what grades did you make? And she said, I make A's. And I said, all A's? Through all the way through school? No, she said, I made one B. I said, one B all the way through high school? That's right. And I said, I did too. We have a lot in common. You made one B in high school. I made one B in high school. But I said, from that B, we went in different directions and parted company. Don't misunderstand me. I was always on the honor roll. And I say that with real humility. No, I don't. I say it with pride. I was always on the honor roll. But brother, I had to work harder to get on the honor roll than some, because my gray matter is a little bit on the black side. And I wasn't easy making an A. And the honor roll was hard. But you see, I thank God for it, because I had to work harder than others. And sometimes the A student doesn't develop the tenacity necessary for success. But the person that's a C student, who makes an A or a B, has to work harder and dig more. And the secret to success is not an A, but working and digging. And so if a person is not by nature an intellectual, and God knows I'm not, a person is by nature non-intellectual, and that means he's got to dig and plow and work harder. And that's why many of our Howells Anderson College graduates, young men who are preachers, they come to college and they have to fight to make a C or fight to make a B. Now I want to say something. If you make a C or a B and you did the best you could, then you take it home with pride. And you thank God for it. And if your child, listen, one of the most discouraging, demoralizing things in the world is for some child who is a B student or a C student to get it because, why don't you make a straight A? Why don't you make a straight A? Won't you shut up? If a child can make an A and makes a B, that's wrong. A kid could make a B and makes a C, that's wrong. But there's nothing wrong with an honorable B or a C if the child is given his best. And I thank God tonight. Listen, I'm not by nature a Cadillac. I'm not a Rolls Royce. I'm a Ford. Yeah, I'm a Ford. By nature, but God delivered me from it. But I'm not by nature the as you know, the suave, eloquent, can't even think of the words I want to think of right now. I'm proving my point. I'm not the orator. I'm not the Lee Robertson, with a dynamic, leadership, appearance. And I'm not the Bob Jones or R.G. Lee with the eloquent vocabulary. And I'm not the John Rice with a brilliant mind. And brother, every step I've taken, I've had to dig and plow and work and stay up late and get up early. And I thank God for it. I really do. I thank God it didn't come easy, because that student to whom it doesn't come easy, he develops the work ethic and he develops what he needs to succeed in life. And you give me the A made by a B student, and I'll give you success more than an A made by an A student. Now, if you're an A student, thank God for it. But I'm talking to folks that expect B students to be A students. Hey, you know why the Cub fans are happy and the Dallas Cowboy fans are miserable? You know why? The happiest group of baseball fans in the world are Cub fans. And there are more, I mean this, there are more people across America that don't live in this area that love the Cubs than that love any other baseball team in America. You know why? Because we don't expect anything. I mean, boy, if we come out in last place, we're satisfied. It's exactly what we expected. We're not disappointed. I mean, if we ever win, listen, if we ever won half of our games, they'll block the traffic on State Street in Chicago for the parade. I mean, the end of World War II will look like a Boy Scout parade. On the other hand, Dallas Cowboys, third best team in all of football last year, third best record, won 12 games, lost 4. And they're saying in Dallas, what's wrong with the Cowboys? What's wrong with the Cowboys? You know why? They expect Danny White to be a Roger Staubach. And they expect to go to the Super Bowl every year. And they're miserable, unhappy, and the poor guy's a quarterback, led them to 12 victories and 4 defeats. Why? Get rid of White. Let's put Hogaboom in there. And let's get rid of White. You know why? Miserable. Why? Because they have not left the Cowboys any room to give them something. I know children who are never happy because, well, you say, Brother House, I'm a dad and I'm a perfectionist. No, you're not. You just are on somebody else, not for yourself. Nothing wrong with being a perfectionist. I demand perfection from Jack Hiles. I do not demand perfection from John Colston. It's a good thing I don't. I mean, if I get a good D out of him, I'm pleased. A C minus, somebody else's report card. I demand perfection from Jack Hiles. I don't from Den Lively or Ray Young or Larry Bullard or Ray Bordway. And these fellows will tell you, I didn't walk up and say, come on, fellas, let's get... No, I may say this in a speech. I may say everything's important and nothing is unimportant and unimportant and let's give our best and let's give it all we've got. I remember years ago, when I first came here, Jim Lyons was my associate pastor and had been in Texas too. He came with me here. And one day I was getting on him a little bit. And Jim stopped the car. He was driving, and he said, Brother Jack, our preacher, he said, let me tell you something. I'm not a Jack Hiles. He said, if I were, I wouldn't be your assistant. I'd be somewhere doing what you're doing. I'm just Jim Lyons. He said, preacher, I'm doing the best I can. And he was. I just thought the best I could was a little lousy at the time. But he said, I'm doing the best I can. He said, I'm not upset with you because you bawled me out. But he said, preacher, I'll never be a Jack Hiles. Never will be. You know, that you guys ought to thank God that he told me that. Really. Because the what little joy you have in life, you wouldn't have it if he hadn't told me that. You know, I know a pastor. I could call his name, but I won't. He expects everybody in his church to be perfect. Look, I think every deacon in this church ought to go soul winning every week. But reality tells me that some of them are not going to go every week. Now, I'm going to try to get them to go every week, and I'm going to preach the stuffings out of them, try to get them to do it. But I think every deacon ought to be in every deacon's meeting. I believe it all my heart. I've not missed one since I've been pastor, First Baptist Church, Hammond. I don't think you ought to miss one either. That's what Jesus said. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. He said, I don't think you ought to sin. But he said, when you do, still love you a heap. And he said, you got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I will not let my acceptance level of you be perfection. There are three types of members of this church, at least three. Listen carefully and I'll tell you what they are. There are some people in this church who believe everything I preach. And they believe it because I preach it. To them, I'm speaking ex cathedra all the time. Brother Hiles, believe it and preach it. It's right. And you believe what I preach. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. If you believe what I preach because I preach it, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, that's one group. And I love you. There's a second group. You believe what I preach because you believed it and finally found somebody who was right because they agreed with you. There are folks all over this room tonight who believe what this church preaches but never could find the church that believed it. And you came and visited here, and boy, you found what we believe. And you said, you went home and said to your wife, wow, I didn't know it. I thought those were all gone. I didn't know there was anybody left that believed what like that and preached like that. I just didn't know it existed. And you finally found a church where you believe or believes what you already believe. And I thank God for you. Now, there's a third group. The third group just don't believe all I believe. I have one word to say to you. I don't mean that. I'm kidding. I want to say this. I'm just as grateful for that crowd as I am either of the first two crowds. See, I don't love you because you agree with me. I love you because you're mine and I'm yours. I love you because you're my people. I love you because God, 25 years ago, sent me to this area to be your preacher and your mine. And if you agree with me because I said, and everything we agree, I thank God. I love you. If you agree with me because you already believe what I believe, and we agree on everything, I thank God for you. I love you. But if you say this is my church and that's my preacher, and I love him, but there are a few things I don't agree with him on, but I still love him, and he's mine, and I know he loves me, I'll say this. I thank God as much for it. Look, you know I'm death on women wearing pants. You know I'm death on it. I just don't think women ought to wear pants any more than men ought to wear skirts. I just don't. But if I see some of you members of our church on the street this week and you got a pair of pants on, ladies, expect you men to have a pair of pants on. But you ladies have a pair of pants on, and I see you, I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to shake your hand and ask you how you're doing, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you a name. And if I see somebody I know and I want to introduce you to them, you don't know them, I'll call them over and say, hey, Mr. Jones, I want you to meet my member here, Mrs. Colston. I believe if she wore them one time, it might talk the rest of you ladies out of wearing if you'd see her. But anyway, I think I said something I shouldn't have said. Don't forget now. Remember, I'm dust. Don't forget. When I do something to disappoint you, keep loving me. If I can put up with you, you can put up with me. If I can put up with your daily mistakes, you can put up with my annual one. There goes another. See, you understand this. We have Hiles Anderson College guys get out of here and go out and here's their first sermon. Point number one, no teacher here, female, will wear pants. You might better get them to quit drinking first. When I came to church here, First Baptist Church of Hammond, on Sunday morning out in front, it looked like that the Indians were communicating with each other. Smoke. I'd get in the car with some of our members. They'd be smoking. Say, what did you do? Say, put that wicked weed up. Cancer stick. No. I just started clearing my throat. No problem for me at all. I started. You see, we're family here. When Cindy down here did something wrong, she was a child. I punished her, but I loved her. And she always knew I loved her. She's my daughter. She's my girl. Disappoint? Yeah. I talked to a lady this week who'd said, I just don't agree with you on everything. I said, well, you're still my member. Look, folks, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But I'm sort of glad some of you are sinners. Because one of the greatest joys I have is watching you grow. And if you had grown already, I'd miss my joy. And by the way, you wouldn't need me. And I need the money. But you wouldn't need me. Now, look. Here's what I expect of you. Number one, I expect you to come. That's all. Come. Be here. Number two, I expect you to listen while you're here. Number three, I expect you to love me. Now, you don't have to love me first. You can love Brother Larry Bullard first and me second. You'd be sort of stupid if you did, but you can. You can love Brother Colston first and Brother Larry Bullard second, Ray Young third, Lively fourth, me fifth. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, if you want. I don't care. How much you love me, just love me. That's all. Number four, consider what I say. Number five, I expect you to grow some. Just some. Can I tell you something, sweet? My mama, of course she's 96 and she's almost senile. There are two sons. There's her son that lives in Munster. There's her son that pastors this church. There are two of us now. I'm thinking about hiring the other one on my staff so I can pay him and get a little extra money. But my mother was the greatest child psychologist I ever knew. Let me give you an example. When I was a boy in grade school, S was satisfactory. We didn't get A's and B's and C's and D's and F's. We got S for satisfactory, N for non-satisfactory, and F for failure. Now, I'm going to list the courses that I took when I was in grade school, and I'm going to let you tell me which one you think I made an F on. English, history, math, science, the conduct or deportment. Which one of those do you think I flunked? You got it right the first time. I flunked conduct. F, failure in conduct. I mean, I just couldn't sit still. And my mother said, "Son, you got to bring that up." And I brought it up the next time to an N. That means non-satisfactory. I went from being miserable up to wretched. I brought that. I can still see my mama, Brother Flair. I brought that card home. And I said, "Mama, here it is." And she said, "Oh, you brought that F up to an N. Son, you brought that failure up to a non-satisfactory." "Oh, I'm so proud." "Oh," she picked up a telephone and called the neighbor and said, "My son made an F last time, but he didn't make one this time. He made an N." And she bragged on me, and I went around. I made a non-satisfactory. Now, what you'd have done, you'd have called the principal first and eaten him out. Then you'd have called the teacher. That didn't satisfy. You had transferred your kid to some other school. My mama said, "Wow, wonderful." Now, that illustration is the way I feel about you. There are a lot of you folk that don't do what I wish you'd do. But I'd settle for it. You don't have to quit smoking. Just cut them in half. I mean, lengthen your skirt. Don't stop wearing your miniskirt. Just lengthen it a half inch a month. Just let me see some improvement. That's all. Look, we're human. We're creatures of dust. We're frail. Lady come. And she said, "But we got it." I have folks come in my office, and she'll say to me, I said, "What's wrong?" "Well, my husband and I, he's unbearable. He's an ogre. He's wicked. I don't love him anymore." By the way, if you ever did, you still do. No such thing as not loving anymore. Anyway, I say to him, "What about her?" "Oh,
She's a hellcat. She's a Hades feline. She's a nagger. And, and listen, you'd be amazed what I find out. Now, when I see him in the hallway at church next Sunday, you know what I see? I see two of my members that I love with all my heart. Imperfect, yes. Weak, yes. Sinners, yes. And one sinner says to another, good morning. And they say to this sinner, good morning. I say so often, this is not a museum where perfect relics come to expect each other's perfection. This is a spiritual hospital where sinners come to get strength and get well. Doctor, the doctors in this church, they don't say to their patients, get out of here and you get well. Don't you come in here like that. You get that blood pressure down to normal, then you come in here. They don't do it. My mama checked in the hospital. We thought she was going to die. They didn't say, don't bring that old lady in here. She's going to throw up all over this nice new hospital floor. You know what? You can't make me happy or sad. That's taken care of in here. The basis and the presence of my joy does not depend on you. But the degree of my joy does depend on you. The degree. I'm happy because I'm God's child. My name is written in heaven. I'm justified. I'm redeemed. I'm not going to go to hell. Holy Spirit lives in here. Bible's my book. God's my Father. Christ is my Savior. Heaven's my home. Rapture's my hope. And I'm happy because of that. And you can't take it away. No way. But you can make me happier. You can't take me from happiness to sadness. Or sadness to happiness. But you can take me from happiness to more happiness. I'm saying that you're not perfect. We have Sunday school teachers and officers. Not what they ought to be. Now don't misunderstand me. You're a Sunday school teacher. You just try smoking a cigarette and see if you get by with it. You just try taking a drink of beer and see if you get by with it. But I'm talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes a teacher and officer. I don't think teachers and officers ought to be taking weekend trips. I just don't believe in it. I think it's wrong. I think it's sin. Did you hear me? 800 of you? Hear me. I think it's wrong. I think you shouldn't do it. Vacation once in a while, once every 4 or 5 years, that's okay. I'm not against a vacation. If you leave on Monday, come back on Saturday. And you're gone 2 weeks, miss one Sunday. You're gone 3, miss 2 Sundays. But I don't believe a weekend trip. I don't think you ought to take them. But if you take one next weekend, you're still my Sunday school teachers. And I still love you. I do not expect perfection of you. I want to leave you some to give. Now I say this, and this is not new to you. I always grant a little leeway concerning criticism. I'm not going to ask you this because it might lead me to be suicidal. But I'd be willing to wager. I bet you a quarter. I can't do that. That's betting. But I bet you a dime. That 99 people out of 100 in this room have at some time or other criticized me. Now, I don't like it. The older I get, the less I like it. The older I get, the harder it is to take. But I don't like it. But I know, look, my sister and I, she's taking care of Mama. My sister and I lived in the same house, but she was 10. I was 10. She was 18. Happiest day of my life. Salvation, number two, when Earlene got married. Left home. Mama cried all night and I laughed all night. Now I could listen, I could use the earphones, the radio by myself. We used to listen to Joe Louis Box and Dad listened around one on earphones. Earlene listened around two. There was never a round three. I never heard it. I criticized her every chance I could get. She's my sister. But you criticize her, and I'll punch you in the puss. I know some of you folks say sometimes you go home at night and say, that fellow preached an hour and 15 minutes. He had the no smoking sign on to come into the land for 45 minutes. He circled the field 8 times. I know he said, with this I close. It's good preaching, isn't it? I know. With this, I close. He said it 7 times tonight. You said, your husband, please, I say that because men never criticize. But I wish you'd tell the truth when he says, with this I close. Now, I know you say that. You know why? Because that's what I'd say. If I had to sit there on those pews for an hour and 15 minutes while a fellow tried to think of something else to say or tried to think of a sad story, get you crying before he said, let's stand for our invitation. But I don't think you're bad because you criticize me. I don't think you should. And I wish you wouldn't. But I'm not going to cast you to the wicked one or the evil place if I find out you do. You say, why? Well, you're my people. I love you. And you love me. I said, thank you. I love you and 3 of you love me. And I'm grateful. But, see, God said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And he said, but if you sin, I already got a lawyer trained. And by the way, he's already at the courtroom. Already there right now. Now I write to them that you sin not. But he said, just in case you do. I already got the lawyer trained and hired, and he's already there at the judge. And he said, before your sin hits the ground, he's going to be pleading your case. I mean, before you curse word, you say, it's echoing. He'll be pleading your case. Now listen, God is not giving a license to sin, nor is God pleased when you do sin, nor does God not always punish you when you do sin. God hates sin. God loves us sinners. God doesn't condemn. You know, I want all you kids to hear me now. All you Hammond Baptist High School students and all you Hiles Anderson students. You know, there's many a person that gets in trouble at college or high school that would like to get out of it. But before they get out of it, we brand them as being bad. And they can't get out. They're stuck. Faculty that said, they're bad. Well, here's something. I look at the whole life and not the last incident. Whole picture, not the last glance. We had some young ladies. Made a mistake at the high school. I was disappointed. But it so happened that these young ladies were some of the finest young ladies in this church. Not perfect, but they made a mistake. They got punished for it. I talked to them. When I saw them in the hallway the next time, I didn't think about that mistake. Why? Brother, if God has amnesia about my sins, I'd dead sure have about yours. You just give me that much chance to think. Let me have that much feeling that you're sincere and trying to do better. Man, if I wrote a book about this crowd tonight, all the things I know about you, I could sell that book as a bestseller and get rich on blackmail. But I knew you were sinners and I came here. And you knew I was. Now listen to me. God says, give me one-tenth of your income. You know why God doesn't want it all? He does want it all. You know why He doesn't claim it all? Demand it all. He wants to leave you some to give. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad sometimes you can put an extra five in the plate and say, Lord, that's because I love you. And the Lord says, I wasn't expecting that. And the Lord's happy. And you're happy. The Lord left some for us to give. And I want to leave you some for you to give. And I want you to leave me some for me to give. And I want you to leave your children some for them to give. Some of you Howells Anderson College students are awful hard on Hammond Baptist students. Awfully hard. The truth is, the average Howells Anderson College student wasn't, when you were in high school, you weren't near what the average Hammond Baptist High School student is right now. One day I was at the college and I was preaching along this line. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you, I heard them. That somebody got some kids out in Lover's Lane. Why, we got a wicked high school. If I were to ask all the adults here who never saw Lover's Lane to raise your hand, it'd be awfully embarrassing. Now, I'm not for Lover's Lane. I don't think you ought to go. Of course, I never went. I just went out to check who was there so I could tell my pastor. Now, listen to me. I said to Howells Anderson College student, I said, how many of you haven't kissed anybody yet? Looked like the rapture had taken place. Instead of going up, they went down. Now, I don't think young folks ought to kiss till they're at the altar. I don't mean after the service tonight, come to the altar to kiss. I'm digging myself in deeper all the time. I mean this. I don't think that a young lady ought to kiss a young boy till she's to the wedding altar. That little girl out there told me the night she got married. She said, Dad, in a few minutes I'll kiss Jack Scott. It'll be the first time I ever kissed a boy. Every daughter in this room ought to say that, be able to say that to her dad and be truthful about it. But I want to tell you something. I don't care how far in sin you go. You come to see me if you want forgiveness, and you got it. And you come to see me if you want help to get back on your feet, and you got it. And you come to see me if you want somebody to help you reconstruct your life, and you got it. God said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But He said, if you do, I got all planned. I still love you. Several observations, and I'll just read them and make a few comments. One is, don't let one disappointment cause you to decide about somebody. Don't make an opinion of somebody because of one disappointment. Number two, don't ever brand anybody as bad because you're disappointed. If you're going to brand anybody as bad, let's brand everybody as bad. Some of the finest adults in this room drove us crazy when you were kids. I'm not going to look at these kids, folks that just sang a while ago, but I know a few things about most of you. Boy, I thank God for you. Every time these young ladies sing, boy, I just want to get up and say, bless God. Thank God. But they didn't live a perfect life while they were growing up. I think they should have. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And I'll keep preaching on what's wrong. But when you stumble, come see me. Number three, look at the entire picture, not just the latest incident. Number four, Don't judge somebody on just their treatment of you. Number five. I've said this many times. Look at them as being broken and not bad. That watch right there quits running. You know what I'll do? I'll say, I've lost my confidence in Actotron. Boy, if that's what watches are, I don't want anything to do with them. I stomp it and hit it. No, I don't. That watch is broken. I take it to the repair shop and get it fixed. And tonight, if you're a little peeved at me, you're not. I mean, you're bad. It just means you're broken. I don't hate the broken watch. I'm sorry it's broken, but I don't hate it. A lot of people need some grace and a little room to breathe. And especially is this true with children at the hands of teachers, principals, pastors, and parents. I'm not saying condone sin. Brother, it ought to be known. That girl out there is my daughter. I don't care what she does, she's my daughter. And I'll love her to the last breath I breathe. She may someday break my heart and cast a blot on my name, but she's my daughter. And you're my people. And you may leave this church or you may go so far into sin, but wherever you go, my love for you goes a bit farther than that. Fellow said to me not long ago, he said, I was sitting in a tavern in St. Louis, Missouri. I was so high on dope, I barely knew my name. I was so drunk, I could barely walk. And he said, the thought I had in that tavern, there's somebody in this world who still loves me. His name is Brother Hiles. He said, I got up out of the tavern. I took off to come back because I just knew one person in the world I really felt like loved me. I've got a list of people in my office. I've got a list of deacons, ex-deacons in our church. Not many, thank God, but a list of them who drifted away from God, who used to sit on my deacon board. Every day of my life, I pray for those men. I love them. We've been through a lot together, and I love them. Thank God occasionally I'll hear about one who gets right. Not one of our present deacons. They never get right. Talking about the other deacons. But I love them. We sat on the same deacon board together. We're in the same family of God together. I love them. And they won't get so far while they'll escape their preacher's love. Number six, don't be unkind. Don't be unkind to people who disappointed you. Now, look, listen, high school students and college students, I don't think you ought to run with the wrong crowd. I don't think you ought to make social friends with the wrong crowd. But if a person is down and in trouble, I don't think you ought to stomp them either. I know some young people at Howells Anderson College that I believe would have gotten back on their feet if some Hiles Anderson students wouldn't have said to them when they came back to school, they were expelled or suspended, they came back to school until the student said, what are you doing back here? That's as unchristian as drinking beer. What you ought to say is, so glad to see you. That doesn't mean you ought to ask them for a date, but there ought to be a kindness and a open arms of forgiveness. Number seven, make the acceptable less than perfect. And number eight, remember what you were. Remember what you were. I don't know how many times I've said this, but I'll say it tonight again. I'll tell you when you're going to have more patience with some young people. I want to say this. Our young folks aren't perfect, but I don't believe we've ever had in the history of this church a finer group of junior hires and high schoolers than we have tonight. I don't think we've ever had a finer senior class. Oh, you say, I know something about one of them. I know something about you, too. I want to say this. Our young people, some of them just need somebody to care. Just somebody to feel like they really care. I'm as guilty as you are of being impatient. Only our young ladies got in trouble. With this, I close. Well, our young ladies got in trouble. And I ate her out. Lovingly, but sternly. I've been having lunch every Wednesday with some of our kids out at the restaurant, tables. And we're having a good time. And one of the young ladies stayed one day after it's all over and said, Brother Hiles, you're almost human. And I said, thank you. She said, you really know how to have a good time. She said, I was always afraid of you till today. I want to make you afraid. Afraid to do wrong. Afraid to go into sin. But I want you to know that when you do, in case you ever want to get right, I'll still be over there in the office. One of the young men came to the office. He's married. Life wasted. Grew up in our church. He came to my office, knocked on the door one night late. I went to the door and he said, Brother Hiles, I'm so glad you're here. He said, it's been 8 years since I've seen you. But he said, I knew you'd be here. I knew you'd be here. And I will. And I will. I'm so glad tonight that our God's patient with us. And I'm so glad He's pulling for us. And I'm so glad that He says, I don't want you to sin. But if you do, I got the best lawyer in the universe all picked out to defend you. All trained and already at the judgment, already at the courtroom right now, looking at the judge. He's sitting right next to the judge right now. And if you just want to get picked up, I'll see you get picked up. Oh, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I preach Friday night. With this, I close. I preach Friday night at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. Second time in 25 years I preached there. It's a church I took when I had 44 people. 7 years later, I left. We had 4,128 people. Most of us grew up together. I preached there Friday night. The Christian Law Association was having a convention there, and Brother Dave wants me to come one night a year at least and preach for him, so I did, and preached to my old people there. And I got to thinking, I wonder what they think as they're driving home now. What do they think about Brother Jack? I got to my room late at night. Got to bed about 1:30, I guess. Got up 4:45 to catch a plane. Somebody had put a little letter and stuffed it in my hand as I walked out. And I read it in my room late at night. And they said, Brother Hyatt, no, Brother, they always called Brother Jack. Brother Jack, I was here 25 years ago when you left. I thought the world had ended the night you resigned. You're the only preacher I ever had. You won me to Christ. Up till then, you're the only preacher I ever had. And Brother Jack, I hadn't heard you preach in 25 years. I came tonight to see how you'd changed. And here's what you said. He said, Brother Jack, You don't look like you used to look. She said, all that pretty hair has gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my hair is gone. Now my scalp is free. And I've lost my song. She said, you look older. She said, you left here a young man. She said, now you're years older. And she said, but your preaching is awful lot like it used to be. She said, as far as I could tell, you're still against everything you were when you were here. And you're still for everything you were for when you were here. And then she said, Brother Jack, I think there's just one change. She said, I felt more love tonight by you even than I felt 25 years ago. I guess if I've changed through the years, I guess it's the fact that I can't give up on you like I used to. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we wrought in vain. By the skill of thy dear hand, some beauty may remain. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If any man in this room sin, you've got a preacher who still loves you. If you break my heart, the reason you break my heart is because I love you. I know you're not perfect. You know I'm not perfect. But let's don't expect perfection. Let's leave some space to give. Let's want perfection. And let's demand it from ourselves. And let's demand excellence from ourselves. But let's remember, as he remembers, that we're dust. Our Heavenly Father.